Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Chulin Daf Mem Tes. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. As we turn to the fifth line from the top on Daf Mem Tes, we continue with the saga of the wandering needle. As you can see, we have diamonds that appear here and a few lines later. This, in effect, is a continuation of a series that we started on the previous daf. This sugya concerns a needle that is found in a vital organ. And the question is, how did it get there? Did it get there through, let's say, a smooth passage through tubes and arteries, and hence the animal will not be considered a trefa, or did it get to where it is through penetrating, through making a nekev in a vital organ? So we continue. Hahu machto dishtakach b'simfona rabo dekavdo. There was a needle that was found in the simfona rabo, very likely a major artery of the kove, the liver. Huna ba mor brei derav idi toref. We have two opinions, and we've indicated this with an aleph and beis. Huna is of the opinion that it's a trefa. He, as Rashi explains, figures that it didn't come through the veshet. Let's correct ourselves. That it came, it had to have come through the veshet and penetrated either the keres or the veshet, the esophagus or the intestines, and found its way into the liver. Rav Ado Bar Menyumi Machshir, he on the other hand figures that since it's found in this major artery of the liver, it very likely came through the kone, and the kone, the trachea, leads to a branching of arteries that start that you have from the liver and you have from the lungs and the heart, as Rashi explains. In our previous shiur, we indicated that some of these descriptions may be difficult to understand in the context of standard animal anatomy. These are taken up by the Meforshim. But for our purposes, the main point right now is to simply establish, did it get there through penetrating other organs or through a smooth passage and movement from one type of tube into another? Also, the Gemara goes on, Also Shailuha L'Ravina. They came and asked Ravina, what is the din of this machat found in the Simfona Rabba of the Kove? Omaluhu. Ravina reacted and said, if anyone declares this a trefa, then he has to pay. That, and he says it in this way. Omaluhu, Ravina answers, Shkilu glima de trufoi. Take the cloaks, take the clothing from those that declared a trefa. The point being that once someone with paskin would rule that it's a trefa, the owner would probably then throw the meat to the dogs, and representing almost a total loss in value to the owner. So as far as Ravina is concerned, that's an erroneous ruling, and hence the one who ruled thusly has to compensate the owner. Hahi kshaiso, a kshaiso is a date pit. The ishtakach b'mora was found in the organ called mora, often translated as gall. Omar Ravashi, ki havinon be'rav kana, Omar, ho vadai simfoino nokad v'asoi. This came through this major liver artery and got to the gall. Afogav delo konafko, even though the date pit is rather large, relatively speaking, and it wouldn't through, let's say, just through easy passage find its way from the Koveit into the Mora. However, Mirbalhu de Roviole, as a result of the animal's movements, it sort of juggles the date pit from the Symphoina into the Mora. Vahani Mili de Dikla, this halacha that it's not a trefa is if you're dealing with the pit from a date that comes from the dekel, from the palm tree. Aval de Zesa, however, an olive pit, Mivza Boza, it has a pointy tip to it, and as opposed to a smooth, rounded edge, it has a pointy tip to it, and it is capable of penetrating and making holes, and that would ruin the animal. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Loma Nikro Shmo Rea. Why is the lung called by this term Rea? Answer, She Me'ira Es Ho'enayim. The word Rea is with a little letter imagination. You could literally, with a little letter switching, you can see the word or in there. It causes improved eyesight. When you say that the rea is beneficial to the eyes, does that mean through eating it straight as just as cooked lung meat, or by preparing it in a medicinal form and mixing it with other ingredients? Toshma, so in order to answer that question, the Omar Rav Huna Bar Yehuda, Rav Huna tells us the following, Avzo Bezuza V'rea Dido Ba'arba'o. An avzo, it's a type of bird, possibly a goose, costs one zuz. The goose lung costs four. Now, the isalkadaituch lachila, if the benefit derived from the lung is by simply eating it straight, so linket bezuzah v'lechol. Why would anyone pay four for a lung that you can just buy the whole bird and get its lung for one zuz? The fact that a rea costs four, it must be that it's prepared. Elo ayadei samonim. It's not just pure lung, but it's lung mixed with other ingredients that causes its expense. The Gemara goes on to a new topic here. We have a nosei, a topic heading in the outside margin. You'll notice in our Shas Ozer, which appears on your screen, the cornerstone of our Gemara marking system, we feature topic headings and structural notes from time to time in the outside margin as is needed. In this case, our nosei, our topic, nekev berea, a hole is found in the lung, hecho de mimashmisho yodei de tapcha, at a point along the lung walls that the slaughterer maneuvers or manipulates the lung. Let us point out that after an animal is slaughtered, its stomach, its belly is opened, giving the slaughterer an opportunity to slip his hands into the chest cavity along the lungs in order to feel for smoothness to ensure that it's not a trefa. Now, we're talking about a case where a hole was found along that section of the lung that the tabach, the slaughterer, would rub or would move his hands. So now the question is, talinon o lo talinon? Do we ascribe the hole to the fact that he handled it, that he moved his fingers over it, and it could be that his fingernails made a hole in the lung as he was manipulating it? Or do we not, lo talino means we don't ascribe it to that, and rather we would say that the hole was there from before the shechita, and not as a result of this post-shechita handling. And if it was there from before the shechita, obviously you would have to declare it a trefa. Rav Acha bar Noson Omar talino. Rav Acha says, this is a lenient approach, that we do ascribe it to the handling. When we say the it, that means the whole. Mar Zutro Brei, Rav Mori, Omar Lo Talinon. He is strict and says we don't ascribe the whole to the handling, but rather it was there before. The Hilchasot Talinon, the Gemara itself, rules leniently that we, Talinon, we ascribe it, attribute it to the handling. Omar Rav Shmuel Brei, the Rebbe Yavol. Rav Shmuel tells us Abba would be Rabbi Avo, Meresh Koli Dara from Havi. Rashi explains this expression, Resh Koli, as someone who was the head of the Darshonim that would Mashmiim Lo'omest Varov, Keshoya Doresh, which means that when you had a Rav who was speaking publicly, being that we're not talking about an era in which there were electronic microphones, someone would hear what the lecturer was saying, and he would say it in a loud voice so that everyone can hear. So Rav Shmuel is telling us there would be a vol was Meresh Koli de Rafram Havi. In other words, Rafram was the scholar who was lecturing, and Rabbi Avo would say it over for the public, the Omar Talinon. And Rafram was of the opinion that we are to rule leniently and ascribe the whole to that to the handling of the Tabuch. Amrua Laha Kame de Marzutra Bre Durav Mori Velo Kibla. This was then said over to Marzutra, and he did not accept it. Omar of Mishashia, Kavose de Avua de Abo Mistabra. It's more likely to go like the Avua de Abo is father of father. That's a reference to Rav Acho Bar Noson. And why is that more likely? Why is it more likely to go with the lenient approach? Tahal Talinon Bizaev. There's precedent for this ruling, and this is something we've learned much earlier in the Masechta. The case of Talinon, of attributing to the wolf. What is the case there? Just to review from something we learned earlier in the Masechta. If someone slaughtered an animal, and before having a chance to check the innards, the me'ayim, the intestines, were swiped away by a wolf, and the wolf brought them back, and we noticed that the intestines had holes in it. Are we to say that the holes were there beforehand, and that the wolf put its teeth into it? He put his teeth into a place that the hole was already located, which would mean that the animal should be cleared of trefa because the hole was there before. Or do we say that the holes that we see in these me'ayim are holes that the wolf made, and they were not holes that were there from before? So we rule in that case leniently that the holes that we found in those intestines were from the wolf. That's Talinon Bizev. We attribute the holes to the wolf. So to here, let us attribute the hole in the lung to the handling of the Tabuch. A new point, Murna. Rashi explains this is a case of a worm emerging from a lung, and this worm makes a hole. Pligi ba Rav Yosef bar Dosoi v'Rabbanan. We have a controversy. Chad Omar Kodem Shchita Parash. One says that this worm that has emerged from the lung actually emerged before the Shchita, and hence it was a trefa. While the animal was alive, this hole was already there. V'Chad Omar La'achar Shchita Parash. And the other opinion is that this worm emerged from the lung only after the Shechita, and namely while the animal was alive, the lung was without a hole. V'chaso la'achar Shechita parashen. Here too, the Gemara issues a lenient ruling that the worm is said to have separated, emerged from the lung, causing the hole only after the Shechita. When the animal was alive, it was a complete hole, it was a complete lung. Almost said whole lung, but you'd have to be careful and say that that's whole with a W, W-H-O-L-E, meaning a complete lung. Rav Shimon Omer, Ad Shetinokev, Lebeis HaSymphonos. Rav Shimon, when discussing the problem of a hole in the lung, he said that a hole presents a problem only if it's a hole that reaches to the base HaSymphonos, the main bronchial tube in the inside of the lung. We'll call that a rather deep hole. Omar Rabba bar Tachlifam Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba Ad Shetinokev LeSimphon Godol. When the Mishnah tells us, according to Rav Shimon, Beis HaSymphonos, it means the main bronchial tube, the large symphone, the large tube. Yosef Rav Acho bar Abba Kamei Rav Huna V'Yosef Ikomar Omar Rabbi Moloch Omar Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi halacha k'Rabbi Shimon. So Rabbi Moloch, in quoting Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shua ben Levi, says that we shall rule like Rabbi Shimon. Omar lei, so Rav Huna said, Moloch arvo'o k'amris. Are you referring to Moloch, that's Rabbi Moloch from Arabia? Ein halacha k'Rabbi Shimon k'Omar. Rabbi Moloch said the halacha is not like Rabbi Shimon. In other words, there would be treifus even if the hole did not reach the main tube. Ki solik Rabbi Zera, ashkeche l'Rav Bevai d'Yosef v'k'Omar. When Rabbi Zera went up to Eretz Israel, he met Rav Bevai, who was saying, Omar Rabbi Moloch, Omar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, halacha k'Rabbi Shimon. So he heard like the original version of what we saw before on the second wide line, that Rabbi Moloch was quoting Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, saying that we shall paskin like Rabbi Shimon. Omar lei, Rabbi Zera, upon hearing this from Rav Bevai, says, Chaye demor, this is an expression in by your life, a type of exclamation. De'anov Rav Chiya bar Abba, Rav Asi, ikle'inun la'asrei d'Rabbi Moloch. We, that means myself, and Rav Chiya and Rav Asi, went to Rabbi Moloch's town, the Amri lei, and we asked him, E Omar mor halacha k'Rabbi Shimon, did you say the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon? The Omar lon, and he told us, Ein halacha k'Rabbi Shimon Amri. I said the halacha is not like Rabbi Shimon. The at ma biyodoch, and you, what do you have? In other words, Rabbi Zera is asking Rav Bevai as to where do you come off saying that Rabbi Moloch, in the name of Shimon Levi, paskins halacha is like Rabbi Shimon. Omar lei, so Rav Bevai answers, Hochi Omar Rabbi Yitzchak bar Hami, Omar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, halacha k'Rabbi Shimon ben k'Rabbi Shimon, namely Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. What we should let's correct ourselves. Rabbi Shimon, as is quoted in the Mishnah, halacha is like Rabbi Shimon. So Rabbi Bevai had a tradition in the name of Rabbi Shimon Levi that the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon, but his tradition came through Rabbi Yitzchak bar Ami, and now the Gemara rules the Ein halacha k'Rabbi Shimon. This is the Gemara itself is paskening. The Gemara itself is ruling that we are not going to pasken like Rabbi Shimon. Nikva hakeva. Omar Rabbi Yitzchak bar Nachmeni. The Gemara topic here will be focusing on what we've written in our Nosei topic heading in the outside margin, Chelev Sha'al Gabi Keva. The term Chelev is an expression that has some flexibility to it. In the context of this sugya, we will be referring to Chelev. There is chelev that is allowed, to be eaten, and that when the Gemara wants to say allowed, it often uses the word shuman. We are not going to see that expression over here, but there's also chelev that carries with it a kores penalty, a very severe offense with a severe punishment associated with it, namely kores. That's the forbidden chelev. In some translations, you'll see the expression forbidden fats. I'm not sure that it's necessarily fat all the time, but it can be more likely described as some type of membrane that's found in different parts of the animal. And as we go along in the sugya, this type of membrane surrounding or attached to different organs also appears in different forms. You'll have in a sheet-like form certain strips, sometimes little sections that are, in some cases, the chelev adheres very closely to the organ. In some places, it can be peeled off very easily. All of these different facets will be introduced as we go along in the Gemara. Omar Rav Yitzchak bar Nachmeni Amar Rav Hoshaya, chelev she'al gabi keva. The chelev found over the keva, or on top of the keva, one of the stomach organs. Kohanim nohagu bo heter k'Rabbi Shmuel she'omar mishum avoisav. Kohanim will eat it. In other words, they treat it with leniently, they treat it as allowed, based on the teaching of Rabbi Shmuel, who said whatever he said in the name of his forefathers. In other words, Rabbi Shmuel has a tradition in the name of his forefathers that this Chelev Al Gabi Keva is allowed. V'simonech, in order to remember that Rabbi Shmuel is the one associated with this leniency, remember the following. Yishmuel Kahano Messiah Kahani. Rabbi Shmuel referred to over here is Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha, who was a Kohen Godol. He is of some fame from the story in Maseches Brochus where Rabbi Shmuel entered the Kodesh HaKadoshim and noticed the divine presence there. And one can look at the Gemara in Brochus for further elaboration on that rather dramatic story. So he is described by this simon, this memory device. The Gemara says simonech in order to remember it. Remember that Yishmael, who was the Kohen Gadol, he helps out Kohanim. The Gemara asks, my he? When you say he helps out the Kohanim, in order to have gained such a title or a description, Yishmael the Kohen who helps Kohanim, Rashi points out it must have been as a result of something more than just one particular legal ruling regarding the Chelev. So the Gemara is asking, well, where else do we see that Rabbi Shmuel has some type of teaching that's positive for Kohanim? So to answer this, the Gemara goes almost off the topic, but it goes into some other area where Rabbi Shmuel has something to say regarding Kohanim. You'll notice to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text a little tuff that we've written in and encircled, and a vertical dashed line that follows therefrom. This represents a long answer, that all of the following lines of the Gemara are designed to help us understand what is meant by Rabbi Shmuel being the Messiah Kohani. Desanya. The Gemara presents a Tanaic source. You can see you have a few lines in a framed section. In our Gemara marking system, we frame Tanaic sources to distinguish them from those lines from the rest of the Gemara text. The topic at hand, it will concern Birkas Kohanim, the Kohen blessing that the Kohanim bless in Eretz Yisrael. In some parts of Eretz Yisrael, this blessing takes place every day. In other parts, it's practiced on Shabbosim, and in places outside of Eretz Yisrael, a very common practice is only during the holidays. is there Birkas Kohanim, Nesias Kapayim, or often referred to as Duchanin? So the Gemara goes on with this Brisa Desanya, Koy Sivorchu as Bnei Yisrael. This is a pasuk which is an instruction to the Kohanim. Thusly, you shall bless Israel, and the sukkim that are recited during the Birkas Kohanim, Yivorechecho Hashem Yishmerecho, etc., follow from this particular citation. Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Lo Matnu Brochol Yisrael Mipi Kohanim. From this section of the Torah, we learn that the Jewish people are blessed from or through the Kohanim. The Kohanim Atzmon Lo Lomanu, but we don't see something. We don't see a clear reference to a bracha that the Kohanim themselves shall receive. In other words, we see them as blessing the people, but what about the Kohanim being blessed? Keshu Omer, when the Pasuk says, Vani Avorachem, Ani would be the Almighty, say, I will bless them. Havi Omer, Kohanim Mevorachem Yisrael, HaKodesh Baruch Hu Mevorach LeKohanim. It would come out then, the Kohanim bless Israel, and the Almighty blesses the Kohanim. Let's make no mistake that when we say the Kohanim bless Israel, the Kohanim are functioning as a conduit of carrying the bracha from the Almighty as well to Israel, but it comes through the Kohanim. As far as the Kohanim themselves, the Kodesh Baruch Hu blesses them. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Rabbi Kiva addresses the same issue and says, Lomadu bracha li Yisrael mipi Kohanim. Just like Rabbi Shmuel says, the pasuk itself presents the Kohanim blessing Israel. So Israel, the congregation of Israel, receives a blessing from the Kohanim. Mipi gvura lo lomadnu. This is an allusion to something we just referred to before. Here Rabbi Kiva deals with it in a head-on fashion. We don't see that the Almighty blesses them. Kishumer vani avorchem. Rabbi Kiva, citing the same phrase that Rabbi Yishmael cited, but takes on a different explanation according to Rabbi Kiva. The posuk Vani Avorchem is a reference to the Almighty saying, "I will bless them," and the pronoun in this case is the nation of Israel. Not like Rabbi Shmuel said, the "I will bless them," the pronoun referring to the Kohanim, but according to Rabbi Kiva, "I, the Almighty, will bless them," the people of Israel. Hevi Omer, Kohanim Mevorchim Yisrael, Vagodesh Baruch Hu Maskim Al Yodom. As a result of this, Rabbi Kiva says, you see that the Kohanim bless Israel, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu Maskim Al Yodom agrees with what they say, or we call it seconds the motion. Affirms their blessing. Hello, Rabbi Akiva, Brocha Lokehanim in Ole. The Gemara asks, according to Rabbi Akiva, it certainly can be assumed he will agree that the Kohanim also are deserving of a Brocha, but where do we see the Kohanim receiving a Brocha according to Rabbi Akiva? Omar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzhak, from a posuk in Parshas Lech Lecha in Sefer Bereishis, Mi va'avorecho mevorechecho, from that posuk where the Kodesh Baruch Hu tells Avraham Avinu that I will bless those that bless you, so that if you have the Kohanim blessing Israel, this posuk in Lech Lecha says HaKodesh Baruch Hu will bless them, the Kohanim who bless Israel. Well, after all said and done, both Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Kiva have the Kohanim receiving a bracha from the Almighty. Why then is Rabbi Yishmael referred to as the Messiah Kohani and not Rabbi Akiva? Umay Messiah Kohani. And Rashi explains this point. He says, second line from the bottom, Hoyov Rabbi Akiva Nami Isle Bracha Lekohanim Mikro Achrina. He has it from another pasuk. How do we see some type of, let's say, weight associated or favor associated with Rabbi Shmuel as being more positive to the Kohanim? So the Gemara explains, Demuki lo lebirkas kohanim bimokoim brocha d'Israel. According to Rabbi Yishmael, the source for the Kohanim receiving a bracha is together with the pasuk describing the people, the congregation, receiving the bracha. So it's felt that it's better when you have this sense of togetherness, that the Yisrael and the Kohanim are together in the same pasuk, where you see them receiving bracha. That's as opposed to Rabbi Akiva, who also agreed that the Kohanim receive a bracha, but his source was from a pasuk side of the topic of Birkas Kohanim, but rather from Sefer Bereishis. Above, there was a reference to the Chelev Shalgabi Keva. We have a little arrow, you'll notice, to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, enabling us to align that which we're about to learn with the original citation above. We saw that the Chelev Al-Gabi Keva, the Kohanim, would consume it, would eat it, based on their relying upon Rabbi Shmuel's teaching in the name of his forebears. The Gemara wants to now focus on what is that, where is the source for that, where was that said? Rabbi Shmuel Shomar Mishum Avoisov, my he. What is referred to when we said above that Rabbi Shmuel said something in the name of his forebears regarding Chelev Agabi Keva? Tisanya. So the Gemara answers, and we should take note of the fact that with our markings, we have a long answer marking, the tuff that you see encircled to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, with a descending vertical dashed line, continues to the upper part of Omid Beis, quite a few lines, and all of this is part of this answer. Tisanya, the pasuk says, V'es kol ha-chelev asher al ha-kerev. That pasuk is lahavi, to include chelev she'al gabi hadakin, the chelev that is on the dakin, very likely the intestines, that this is forbidden chelev. Divrei Rabbi Shmuel. Now we've written in, which is maybe the main point, and we've taken it from Rashi, we've written in above the top line, Aval sha'al ha-keva li Rabbi Shmuel muter. The chelev that's on the keva, that's allowed. In other words, this pasuk, which talks about a chelev prohibition, this is a reference to the chelev al-hadakin. But the chelev on the keva is allowed. That's according to Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Lohavi Chelev Sha'al Gabi Hakeva. Rabbi Akiva is strict, so that when we saw on Omer Aleph that the Kohanim would eat the Chelev Al Gabi Keva, that's because they were in reliance upon Rabbi Yishmael. The Gemara now raises a contradiction, a source that will appear to be contradictory. V'ramini, the source quotes a pasuk es chelev asher al hakerev. Now there's a girsa that has here Rabbi Shmuel, and that's the girsa that we will use. Rabbi Shmuel Omer ma chelev hamechasa es hakerev, just like the chelev that covers the kerev, krum v'niklaf. It's a membrane and can be peeled. So it serves as a precedent for understanding what other types of chelev are forbidden. So any other chelev that has this characteristic of being membranous and peelable, af kol krum v'niklaf. And we've written in here the essential point, and that will include chelev agabi keva. The chelev agabi keva has that characteristic. It's a membrane and it can be peeled off. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Rabbi Kiva says that something is not going to be considered chelev unless it has an additional characteristic. And we'll see very shortly, he talks about toisav. And he says, ma chelev hamechasas akerev, toisav krum v'niklaf, just like the chelev that covers the kerev is tosav. Rashi explains tosav as being, he quotes a targum on the word tosav, as a reference to a simla. A simla is a dress. We could say it's like a sheet, something that's draped over, something spread out, so that according to Rabbi Kiva, something is not going to be classified as chelev, as forbidden chelev, unless it has this characteristic also, that it's a type of sheet-like membranous substance that can be peeled. So he adds this additional feature, and only with it will you have prohibition. So let's read that again. Ma chelev hamechasas akerev toisav krum v'niklaf, af kol toisav krum v'niklaf. So to all other cases of chelev, it will be declared forbidden if it has these three characteristics: toisav krum v'niklaf. We have a problem right now, and that is that we have a seeming contradiction, whereas Rabbi Yishmael in the previous source was lenient, allowing the chelev on the keva. This source has him prohibiting it. And in the previous source, we saw Rabbi Kiva forbidding the chelev al gabi keva. And in this source, he would not forbid it, because the chelev al gabi keva, even though it's krum v'niklaf, it's not tosav. So we have to resolve the contradiction. So the Gemara goes on. It says, Sholach Rav Mishmei de Rabbi Yochanan, Kach hi hatzor shel Mishnah v'epuch komaisa. He is saying that the more accurate of the two sources is this second source, presenting Rabbi Shmuel as the strict opinion and Rabbi Kiva as the lenient. And the first source would need to be switched around. And if you were to switch it around, you'll then have, in fact, Rabbi Akiva allowing the chelev al gabi keva and Rabbi Shmuel forbidding it. My choses de afchis komaiso epuch basraiso. What is it that you see fit to switch around the first source? Why not switch around the second source? Answer: Shaini hocha. The second source is different. Kevon de kotoni ma. That shows us it's dafka. You'll notice we have a little arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, and this enables you to align it with the previous arrow. What we call the second source, it used the term ma. Ma, we'll have to say, is a type of analytical expression where the source was elaborating. It cited the pasuk and then extrapolated from the pasuk and formulated a rule. And it used the expression ma, indicating dafka. Dafka meaning something that's meduyak, exact or accurate. Accurate would be the right term. I hochi, if this be the case, then we made a reference to on Omer Aleph, we made a reference to the Kohanim treating the Chet of Agabi Keva with leniency based on Rabbi Shmuel. But if what we've said, we're saying now is correct, the lenient opinion regarding the Chet of Agabi Keva is in fact Rabbi Akiva. So the Gemara asks, Ihochi, Kerabbi Shmuel, Kerabbi Akiva he? In order to help you find this reference, we should take note of a little squiggled arrow that appears to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. When we say, when we just said that it should be, how could you say according to Rabbi Yishmael, you'll see the reference to that on Amud Aleph, and we have that squiggled arrow also to the left-hand side of the Gemara text on the lower part of Amud Aleph, enabling it to see what we are referring to. So the Gemara has to answer this question. How can you say on Omer Aleph that the leniency was as a result of reliance on Rabbi Shmuel, when in effect it's a reliance upon Rabbi Akiva? The Gemara says, listen, we don't have to switch any, we don't have to change anything we said originally. But by careful reading, you'll see how everything falls into place. Omer of Nachum Reitzchok, on Omer Aleph, the term was Sh'omar Mishum Avoisov. There was a lenient ruling that Rabbi Shmuel mentioned concerning the Chelev Agabi Keva, but that was not his own opinion. His own opinion, in fact, is of strictness. There was a lenient ruling that he said in the name of his forebears. However, lay lo sphira lay. But Rabbi Shmuel himself doesn't agree with that. Rabbi Shmuel himself is in fact machmir, just like we said on the top part of this omit, where we switched around the first source to conform to the second source, where Rabbi Shmuel in fact was reflecting his own opinion, and that's one of strictness. But the reliance of the Kohanim upon Rabbi Shmuel that was cited on Amud Aleph is a reliance upon a tradition that Rabbi Shmuel said in the name of his forebears, Mishum Avoisov, but he himself doesn't agree. As we go on in the Gemara, we have a new topic, and we see through our topic heading in the outside margin, Chelev Kesoisem Nekev. We're going to discuss here the possibility of the chelev material, this chelev tissue matter that we've discussed till now, and its ability to act as a sealant of a hole that may have developed in a vital organ. Omar Rav, chelev tohor sosem, tomei eino sosem. Rav says that chelev that is tohor, that is allowed to be eaten, and we spoke about this in our introduction to this section, that there's chelev that's allowed and chelev that's not allowed. The chelev that's allowed, that can function as a sosem, as something that seals holes. The nature of chelev tohor is that it clings. It's very clinging. It's not like we described before, the forbidden chelev is something you can peel off. We mentioned the term niklaf, krum v'niklaf, a membrane that you can peel off. Chelev tor is something that clings very tightly to wherever it's found, so that if you have chelev that's growing at a point that there may have been, that there was a hole in the organ, the chelev will seal it. Tomei, though, chelev that's tomei, will not, namely chelev that's forbidden to be eaten. We spoke about the chelev machasis akerev, that does not function as a stima, as a sealant. It's not really attached. It's sort of just sits over the organ like a sheet, but it can be easily peeled away. Rav Sheshes Omer, Echod Zeh V'Echod Zeh Sosem. Rav Sheshes is very lenient and says that even the Chelev Tomei can act as a sealant. Boy, Rabbi Zera, Chelev Chayo Mai. We must mention, by way of introduction, that the chelev of a chaya is something that's a chaya is a kosher variety, undomesticated animal. The chelev of a chaya is allowed. It's different than a behema, even though they're both animals and they both need shechita. However, with regard to chelev, and of course with regard to kisui adam, there are fundamental differences. So with regard to a chaya, the chelev is allowed. What is the din of chelev of a chaya that is sealing a hole in one of its organs? Dafka omar chelev tohor sosein. When it was said that chelev tohor seals, is it a reference to chelev tohor being that it's something that's allowed to be eaten? V'hainami tohru, and the chelev of a chaya is allowed. Oidilma, or is it a function mishum demahadek? Because the nature of chelev tohor, the allowed chelev in a behemoth, is because of its physical nature, not its legal status. But its mahadek means it clings. It'll cling to the hole, to the whole area, and seal it. V'hai lo mahadek. V'hai means in the case of the chelev of a chaya, it doesn't cling. Omar Abaye, my tiboyele, what are you asking at all for? Nihi deshori bachila. Granted, the chelev of a chaya may be allowed to be eaten. However, aduki lo mahadek, but it doesn't cling. And the issue of an effective hole sealant is dependent on this physical characteristic. And it doesn't, in the case of the chelev chaya, it doesn't have this physical characteristic. And therefore, as far as Abaye is concerned, there's no room for even asking the question. It's so obvious that chelev chaya will, since it's not mehadek, it will not seal a hole, and therefore the chaya would be a trefa if it has a hole in an area over which chelev is growing. As we go on in the Gemara, we encounter some new geometric forms. You'll notice we have a diamond and a few lines later a bow tie. Under our Mivneh heading in the outside margin, you'll notice we featured the diamond and bow tie. And we've written, and our note says, Simunim Elu, these markings, Marim al Mivneh Doimeh, are here just to show a similar type of Gemara structure between this section and the following section where these signs appear. Beis Haktoim Haboim, in words, a similar structure in the upcoming two sections. Hamikre Hasheni She'inyono Gilui Bemashkim, the second topic whose topic concerns beverages that are left exposed. It's called Gilui. And there's a fear with regard to exposed beverages that a venomous creature may have drunk from them and deposited some of its own venom into that beverage. So that the topic who discusses Gilui in Mashkim in beverages, Eino Koshur L'Sugyaseinu, is not related to our Sugya, is not content-wise, is not related to our discussion. We have been discussing Chelev till now. Chutz mehamivnim hadomim, the only real or obvious connection is the similar structure. So let us turn to the Gemara, and this will become more obvious as we get into it. Hahu nekev desosmo chelev tomei, there was a case of a hole in an organ sealed by forbidden chelev. The oslakame de Rava, the case came to Rava, Omar Rava, Lamai Nechushla. What is there to worry about over here? Chada, one point is the Homa Rav Sheshes Chelev Tomei Nami Sosein. Rav Sheshes, and we have a little star to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara text, and you can align this with a previous star, and you'll see at that line Rav Sheshes had said this point, that Chelev Tomei seals. V'oid, and furthermore, another reason to rule leniently. Hatorah Chosa Amamona Sheyisrael. We find that the Torah is concerned over the possessions, the money possessions of the Jewish people. Rashi gives the source for that particular point of information, but without getting into the exact source, let us simply say that the Torah has compassion over the money of people. Now, if you have a question regarding the kashrus of an animal, and you have a chance, let us say, to rule leniently, and in this case we have Rav Sheshes upon whom to rely, and by relying on that we will be saving the owner of the animal from a major financial loss. So that's the way to go. So that's how Rava approaches this. Omar le Rav Papa le Rava. Rav Papa objects. He says, Rav, the Isura d'Oraisa. You'll notice in the discussion above where Rav Sheshis was cited, just before Rav Sheshis we had Shitas Rav. Rav was strict, was stringent with regard to the ability of the Chelev Tomei to be Sosei. He ruled stringently. And furthermore, you're dealing with an Isur Doraisa. You're dealing right now with an Isur of Trefus. Trefus is a Torah prohibition. Now, that's a lot of weight against ruling leniently. And you cite as a reason for ruling leniently a financial concern. In all due respect to financial concerns, when you're dealing with a potential Torah prohibition and you have a major authority like Rav ruling strictly, you can't cite Torah Chosam on Shisrael as reason for ruling otherwise. Bearing in mind the structure that we just had, in other words, we saw a case, we saw this citation of attempting to rule leniently based on Torah Chosam on Shisrael, and eventually a reaction to that. This same structure will appear in the next section. Now, as far as our markings are concerned, you will notice that we have a section of Gemara that appears in brackets. The reason for bracketing this section is explained by the note that accompanies this on the inside margin. Achrei hasograyim, haGemara chuzeres leinyan chelev. After the bracketed section, the Gemara will go back to a chelev discussion. Besoch hasograyim uva keta shinyono gilui b'mashkim. Within the bracketed section, the Gemara will deal with the issue of exposed beverages. As we mentioned earlier, the reason for this section appearing in the Gemara has to do with the structure that we featured before, with a case and an attempt to rule leniently based on Torah Chosa, and you'll see how everything is marked in a parallel fashion to the previous discussion. However, so that we don't get lost as far as ideas are concerned, let us just realize or make note of the fact that after this bracketed section, which by the way is indicated with a bracket length indicator, that you'll notice to the immediate left hand side of the more text a vertical dash dotted line, an attempt to show how long the bracketed section lasts. After that, you'll notice the line on which the brackets close. Rav Nachman, whose name is underlined, he goes back to the topic of Chelev, which is what we've been discussing till now. With all that having been said, we can now turn to the Gemara and learn straight through from Minyumin Kanduka. Minyumin is a name. Kanduka, he is a person that dealt with jugs, with flasks and jugs. Igli le bistika de dusha. Igli, it was left exposed. Bistika, a jug of dusha, of honey. So Minyamin had a jug or a pitcher of honey that was left exposed. We mentioned before that the issue of exposed liquids concerns us with the possibility of a venomous creature having come and drank from it, unbeknownst to us, and depositing its venom in this, and that would render the beverage quite dangerous for human consumption. So the question is, what beverages do venomous creatures drink from? Not necessarily from everything. So this case of the exposed honey, also the kame de Rava, this case came to Rava. Omar Rava, lemai nechush law. What is there to worry about? And it's also worth noting that Rava, in the previous diamonded case, was also reacted this way of lemai nechush law. What is there to worry about? It says chada disnan. First of all, you have this first consideration that it teaches in the following Tanaic source. Shloisha mashkim asur mishum gilui. There are three types of liquids that can become forbidden if left exposed. And they are Hayayin, Vahamayim, Vahacholov, wine, water, and milk. Ushar kol hamashkim mutarim. All other beverages, liquids, are mutar, even if they're left exposed, and this is to include honey, devash. V'oid, and a second reason to rule leniently, ha-terechoso al mamonon shi-Yisrael. You have this consideration that the Torah shows its compassion and concern over Jewish possessions, Jewish finances. And if you're going to rule strictly regarding the honey, you're in effect telling him to throw it out, and it'll be a total loss. So Rava rules leniently. Omar le Rav Nahum Yitzchak le Rava. As opposed to in the previous discussion, Rav Papa reacted to Rava. Here, you have Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak reacting to Rava, and he says, "How can you be so lenient?" He says, "Rabbi Shimon, the Sakonas Nefoshes." There's a source that the Gemara will introduce momentarily, where Rabbi Shimon is more inclusive in the problematic beverages, problematic in the sense that the venomous creatures will drink from additional beverages. There is Rabbi Shimon, so we'll call him the stricter opinion, and Sakonas Nefoshes, and you have an issue concerning life of an issue of a life threatening nature. V'at Amras HaTorah Chosom Onish Yisrael, and you are trying to introduce the Torah's compassion for Jewish possessions, Jewish money. Of course, the Torah has compassion for Jewish possessions, but there's a limit to how far it'll go, and we're not going to have compassion when the life of the owner is in jeopardy. So what you see here is you have Rav Nachman rejecting Rava's ruling of leniency. In the course of his comment, he mentioned a sheet of Rabbi Shimon. An opinion of Rabbi Shimon. The Gemara now delves into that. Rabbi Shimon, Mahi. What's this reference to Rabbi Shimon regarding Gilui, regarding exposed liquids? Desanya. So we have a source in which Rabbi Shimon appears. Chamisha ein bohemishum Gilui. The Tanakhama, the first opinion, says there are five liquids that are not subject to Gilui. We're going to be interested in seeing Rabbi Shimon's comment, who will appear later. The five include, one, tzir. Tzir is a fish brine, the chometz vinegar, shemen oil, devash honey, murias, also a type of fish entrail concoction. Rabbi Shimon Omer, af hein yesh bohen mishum gilui. Rabbi Shimon says they too have a gilui possibility. A gilui meaning susceptible to becoming forbidden as a result of being left exposed. The Omer Rabbi Shimon, Ani ro'isi nocha sheshasa tzir b'tzidon. Tzidon is the name of a place. He says, Rabbi Shimon says, I saw a nochash, a venomous creature, often translated as a snake, that drank tzir. Tzir was one of the beverages, one of the liquids that the Tanakhama said is not problematic. Rabbi Shimon says, well, I saw a snake drinking tzir in tzidon. Omrulo, the Tanakhama, the rabbis that disagree with Rabbi Shimon, reacted and said, Shat Yahava, that was an insane snake. The Ein Mevin Rayo Minashaitim, and you can't bring a proof from the crazy, from the insane. Omale, Rava, who we saw above having contact or let's say a disagreement with Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, Amalei, Rava says, Odi li mihas betzir. You should concede to me with regard to betzir to be lenient. And to be lenient means and not hold like Rabbi Shimon. Deha rapapa ravhuna brev Yeshua, rabbanan, ki havu lehu gilui. These three, two rabbinic figures and others, Rav Papa, Rav Huna, and the other rabbis, when they had a problem of an exposed beverage, kihavlu gilui, when they had some type of beverage that was left exposed, shadu le betzir, they would mix it together with brine, with this fish brine. So the fish brine is actually something that will neutralize any problem of Givui. Now, the Rashi adds over here, on the fifth line under the Gemara, the Hora Papa, v'chi hechi de betzir, just like by the case of Tzir, less Hilchas Gavasei, the halacha will not follow Rabbi Shimon, b'dvash nami less Hilchas Gavasei. With regard to the honey also, the halacha should not follow him. Well, the discussion continues. Omar lei, so Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak says back to Rava, Odi li miha, you should, however, agree with me, bitvash, the Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar koi kavosei. With regard to dvash, we find, in addition to Rabbi Shimon, who is actually Rabbi Shimon bar Yochoi, your standard Rabbi Shimon is Rabbi Shimon bar Yochoi, we find another great Tanaic figure, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, who holds like Rabbi Shimon, the Sanya, V'chein hoya Rabbi Shimon Elazar oser bedvash. We see that he agrees with Rabbi Shimon to prohibit dvash, honey that was left exposed. So at the end of the day, we find a machlokis between Rava and Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak regarding what is to be prohibited as a result of gilui. And as far as our general sugya is concerned, we mentioned that this whole section that now is closed by the brackets is brought in only because of the original similarity and structure to the previous discussion that dealt with the chelev and its ability to act as a sealant. And as we mentioned earlier, we now go back to a chelev discussion. So you'll notice in the outside margin under the nosei heading, pratim beinyan eza chelev sosein v'eza loy. We're going to learn more details concerning different chelevs and their ability to act as sealants. Omar Rav Nachman, chelev he'osui kekoiva enoi soisem. Chelev that appears as a kova. A kova is a hat. So, with a certain amount of imagination, you'll have to be able to picture different parts of the animal anatomy that have chelev on them that resemble a hat. So Rav Nachman says that chelev that looks like a hat does not act as a sealant. Well, the Gemara asks, Hecha, where in the animal do you have that? Amri lei, so he answers, Chiti de karkisha. V'amri la, tirpasha de liba. The Rashi explains, the chiti de karkisha, chelev sha'al chalcholes hamotzia rei. We're talking about an organ that may be, in fact, the rectum, the part of the animal from which its solid waste is emitted. So there's chelev on that organ, on the chalchilis. And on that organ you have little spots of chelev that have this look to it, this hat look to it. There's another of the other version, or the Amri law, the second version of where this is Tirpasha the Liba. This is a tissue substance that's found around the heart. Rashi explains, Shuman Halev, Osui Kekova, Halev Nechbabo, the Shuman, the fat that's around the heart. And once again, it may not be a reference to fat as we refer to fat in the English colloquial use of the terms, but whatever the case is, it's some type of membranous substance that is around the heart. And Rashi says it sits around the heart like a hat. V'halev nechba bo. The lev is hidden in it, it's like wrapped in it. Eino so same in nikiv alev, o horev v'samachlo. That substance will not act as a sealant if the heart or the lung, which is right next to it, have developed a hole. And this chelev happens to be covering it. It nevertheless does not function as a sealant. Turning back to the Gemara, Omar Rava, Shamis Minei de Rav Nachman Tarti. Rava tells us that I have a tradition, I heard from Rav Nachman 2 points. One, chimtza, two, bar chimtza. we'll see later that these are terms referring to chelev that surrounds the keval. Chad sosim v'chad lo sosim. One of these two seals and the other does not. V'lo yodano he minayo. Rava says, I heard about these two things. One is this and one is that, and I don't know which is which. Rav Huna bar Chinuno v'Rav Huna braid Rav Nachman Omar. So they say, bar chimsa sosim, the bar chimsa chelev will seal, chimsa lo sosim, the chimsa chelev will not seal. Omar Rav Tovus. Rav Tovus is a name. He says, v'simonech, in order to remember which one has this stronger characteristic, remember the following statement. Yofa koyach haben mikoach ha'av. Now, in the context of our shiur, we're not going to get into what that is referring to. Rashi himself doesn't elaborate too much, but he refers you to a Gemara in Shavuos. For our purposes, though, it's a legal concept that enables a son to collect, to make collections under circumstances that his father would not be able to make collections. So we see that a son has greater strength than a father. Now, what's the connection to our sugya? The word bar chimsa, the word bar means a son. So the word that has the word son in it, bar chimsa, is stronger. That's yofe koach, stronger than the chimsa. For our purposes, once again, we're going to say that the bar chimsa chelev will be able to work as a sealant. The Gemara now wants to know, after introducing these expressions, where are they found in the animal? Hey chimsa v'hei bar chimsa, which is chimsa and which is bar chimsa? The Gemara won't answer it in immediately in a direct fashion. We'll lead up to the answer, which eventually will be found on the top of Daf Nun. The Gemara says Toshma. Well, let's come and hear. We'll try to find an answer to which is which. The Omar of Nachman, inhu means the people in Eretz Israel, mechal achli, they would eat it. They would eat this holding that it's totally permissible. Ulididon mistam lo sosim, and according to us means us in Bovel, true, we don't eat it, but shall it not work as a sealant? In other words, Rav Nachman is saying that which we, the bar chimsa, which is something that in Eretz Yisrael, they go all the way, they say it's mutter to eat, it's included in the area of chelev that's mutter. So if you see them, they eat it in Eretz Yisrael, so even though we don't practice eating it, but nevertheless, it certainly should work as a sealant. Before going on in the Gemara, we'll now reveal that we're talking about chelev that's associated with the keva. The keva is an organ that has, a certain like a crescent type shape to it. Imagine the moon in one of its either early in month or end of month phases. You can also try to imagine a bow, as in bow and arrow. The bow is a curved entity that has a string that is drawn straight across the two ends of the curve. This imagery is important for the continuation of the Gemara. The Gemara will use two expressions. One is kashta, and the other is yasra. Kashta, or keshes, is the curved part of the bow. In Hebrew, a rainbow is referred to as a keshes. It also has this curved shape to it, crescent form to it. The yasra is the string drawn apart, drawn from the two ends of the bow. So with that imagery in mind, let us continue in the Gemara, the top of Daf Nun. The akashta on the bow, that would be on the curved part, if you have chelev there, kule almo lo pligi, the osir. Everyone will agree, even the B'nai Eretz Yisrael will agree that that's forbidden. And we should also note in our Gemara that we have a Roman numeral number 1 next to the top line at the right hand side. You see a Roman numeral number 1. There will be two versions in this particular presentation of opinions. Opinions regarding permissibility or prohibition of the chalev. So the first version has that the chalev that's on the keshes, on the bow part, everyone agrees is forbidden. And Rashi points out that it's tosav. It sits on and is not tightly adhering to the organ. We mentioned before the term tosav meaning like a dress or a sheet spread over it. But just as a sheet can easily be peeled away, so too the chalev that's on the keshes has that characteristic. Hence, everyone will agree that it's forbidden. Ki pligi de ayasra. The controversy between B'nai Eretz Yisrael and B'nai Bavel concerns the chalev that is on the inside of the curve, so to speak, of the keva. The part that if you were to imagine a string drawn across the two ends, so that that part of the keva, the chalev there would be the disagreement between B'nai Yisrael and B'nai Bavel. Iko di Amri, a second version, and this is a more lenient approach, the Ayasra, the chalev that's on the Yasra part, Kule Alma lo pligi deshori. Everyone will agree that that's allowed. And by the way, we've included a little diagram of what we are referring to on the inside margin for your convenience. So the second version has the issue of the chalev that's on the Yasra as being in everyone in agreement that it's allowed. And that is because in referring to names that we had earlier in the sugya, and Rashi makes reference to them, that everyone holds like Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva said that only if the chalev has all three characteristics will it be prohibited. But the chalev that's on the Yasra doesn't have all three characteristics of Toisef Krum V'Niklaf, and therefore everyone will agree that it's Mutter. Ki pligi da'akashta. The machlokes between B'nai Bavel and B'nai Eretz Yisrael refers to the chalev that's on the keshes, on the outside of the bow part of the curved part of the keva. Rashi explains ki pligi da'akashta man da'osar sovar tosav hu. The one that forbids feels that it has the tosav characteristic. Mandashori sovar kivan demechuber bemiksas lav tosafu. The ones that allow it say since there's a partial adhesion, it's not that makes it such that it's not considered tosav. We have a semicolon in the Gemara because of what Rashi points out, that this continuation of the Gemara is a reference to the first version, the first loshon. But it does concern this topic. Ki ha di Omar Rav Avya, Omar Rabbi Ami, Mekamtsin. Mekamtsin means as far as removing chalev is concerned, Mekamtsin means a little bit. They would remove a little bit of from above the part that's on the Ayasra, on the Yasra side of the keva, and eat the rest. The chain. Omar Rabbi Yanai, Mishum Zokin Echod, Mekamsin. Rabbi Yanai says also in the name of an old sage, Mekamsin means just a little bit was removed and the rest they would eat. Omar of Avya, Hava Koimno Kamei de Rabbi Ami, I was standing in the presence of Rabbi Ami, Komtsu Vahavulei, the Ochal. They removed a little bit and the rest he ate. They gave it to him, Havulei, they gave it to him and he ate it. Shame is the servant. Shame de Rabbi Chanina, Havakoi Kame de Rabbi Chanina. This servant was standing in the presence of Rabbi Chanina. Homale, Kmotz Havli de Echol. He says, give me some so that I can eat. Chazi de Havi Komachsin. So he saw that he was hesitating. Homale, Bavloat. He says, aren't you from Bavel? Gom Shadi. Being that in Bavel, they did not allow the Ayasra, the chalev that was on the Yasra, That is, of course, in conformity to the first Lashon. Since you're in Bavel, you have to observe the stringencies of the place you come from. And gom, shadi means gom, means like cut it away till its very root, to the very bottom, till the point that it's in contact with the organ itself, and shadi, and throw it away. So that you should not be eating any of it. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.